That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified.
It had been deemed classified.
And B, that footage is highly classified.
Classified?
It's classified.
You can't tell anybody, but...
People need to know.
Welcome to CIO Classified, where you'll find candid conversations with the world's leading CIOs. In each episode, we have two different CIOs discuss a single topic. This week, we are joined by Johan Dowdy and AP Perkayasta. Johan is the global head of IT at Asana. He has extensive experience in the IT space at companies like Lyft and Twitter, where he helped build and influence underlying technologies that drive organizations day to day. He's passionate about the future of work. And in this episode, Johan tells us how IT plays a vital role in the employee experience. AP is the group CTO at Skillsoft and SumTotal and is no stranger to large-scale technological operations. AP has a proven track record of cloud transformation and business integration. And today, you'll hear his advice for building resilient tech stacks into your business strategy. But before we get into it, here's a brief word from today's sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Asana. Asana is a leading work management platform that empowers teams to orchestrate their work, from daily tasks to big strategic initiatives, all in one place. By enabling the world's teams to work together effortlessly, Asana helps organizations of all sizes and industries achieve their goals faster. Learn more at asana.com. That's Asana.com.
And now, here's your host, Ian Faison.
Welcome to CIO Classified. I'm Ian Faison, CEO of Caspian Studios, and today we are joined by two amazing guests. First, AP, how are you?
I am good, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited to chat with you today. And Johan, how are you?
Great, Ian. Thanks. Nice to be here with you and looking forward to an interesting conversation with both of you.
Yeah, interesting indeed. Okay, let's get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about employee experience and how IT plays a role in that. And we're going to learn a little bit more about both of your companies and your roles. So, you know, starting off, Johan, can you tell us a little bit about Asana and your role?
Yeah, Asana is a leader in the work management space. Our product helps enable teams to collaborate globally. This was something that was just as true 5 years ago as it is 5 days ago. Looking for collaboration is something that's critical to a lot of teams' success. And we like to think that our tool is an integral part of a lot of organizations' plan to help their teams better collaborate. I am the head of IT here, so I lead the corporate IT function for Asana globally.
Awesome. And AP, what about you? Can you tell us a little bit about Skillsoft?
Skillsoft is the leader in corporate digital learning. Our mission is to make the workforce of today ready for the skills of tomorrow. So I am the chief technology officer of Skillsoft. I manage product engineering, as well as the back office and CIO functions for the company.
And we're going to get into that. I love the dual-hatted CTO role. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. Okay, let's get into employee experience. First, Johan, you know, you're someone super passionate about IT and how it plays a role in employee experience. What is IT's role in employee experience?
In short, you could say that IT's role is to empower the users to be productive and do their best work in whatever scenario that they happen to find themselves, whether it's remote, whether it's in the office. IT's job is to help enable employee productivity, regardless of whether they're on the workplace team, marketing team, engineering team. Our team has a hand in all of the technology that employees use to get their work done in an efficient and collaborative manner.
And what does IT look like at Asana?
So we have, our IT organization is split into what we would like, we call it a front-facing or support organization and an engineering organization. And the support organization has the responsibility of most of the interaction directly with users. They're the folks who would handle trouble tickets or respond on a Slack channel to questions or inquiries, help people get laptops, accounts, access management, things of that nature. Behind the scenes, our engineering side of our team helps build out the infrastructure, whether that's conference rooms or networking or systems or applications that empower user productivity. You know, everything from the collaboration suite of tools that we use to identity and access management, how the laptops are built, all of those things that are very much behind the scenes, but an integral part of the employee experience, even though those engineering teams don't necessarily interact as directly with the employees as the customer-facing or support side of the operation does.
And AP, what about you? How do you feel? What's IT's role in employee experience?
If you don't mind, I'll take a broader view of the question. I think especially after COVID-19, with employees being in, you know, flexible mode all over the place, to be honest, I think providing everything digitally, providing all of the employee experience digitally has become the core mission of many companies. Employees more and more are looking for more than just a job, right? They're looking for growth. They're looking for purpose. And they're looking for a team that they can work with and kind of grow together. So IT's role, and in fact, all the supporting applications role, the way we would like to look at it is help employees grow, continuously learn with whatever tools they have from the colleagues, and do that in the flow of work. Do that naturally and seamlessly in the flow of work. So therefore, all the digital infrastructure that is offered to employees must work seamlessly, not only to get the job of today done, but also learn the skills of tomorrow while doing the job of today.
Yeah. So how do you think about IT at Skillsoft? Like we were talking about, you have this kind of dual mandate. So what does IT look like?
IT, if I ignore the product piece for a second, right? We are all about operational excellence. So operational excellence comes in various forms. Number one is productivity, the thing that Johan mentioned, right? So that all the digital infrastructure is always available, continuously available to end users and employees. It also plays a key role in efficient enterprise architectures. So for example, we use a plethora of tools, you know, mostly cloud tools. They actually exchange data with each other. They depend on each other. They actually together produce an enterprise workflow. Making an enterprise efficient so that all the important processes, let's say code to cash or lead to cash processes, as an example, right? Or employee onboarding processes, as an example, is completely seamless and delivers the highest quality experience to every employee and delivers the results for the chief revenue officer, the chief financial officer, is the role of IT in Skillsoft.
What are the tools and processes that are like must-haves for keeping everyone productive?
I hate to tell you this, email, however much people speak badly about it, you know, a working, always reliable, 99s of reliability email is still important, right? It seems to be people's fallback mechanism to communicate. But on top of that, right, there are emerging tools that provide a very rich quality of experience. Collaborative tools such as Slack or Teams, for example, that gives you instant presence, that gives you persistence connection. And then management tools, for example, Asana, right, give you a collaborative space where you are working on something focused. So all of these together, seamlessly tied together in the context of business, is important.
I'll offer a little bit of a contrasting opinion. Asana, of course, being the platform that we are, we don't really use email very much internally. Of course, there's email with external partners and stakeholders. You can't avoid that. But when you look at how people at Asana work, it's really the lifeblood of our company, not just also the products that we make. It's also the primary platform on which all people at Asana collaborate with each other. So for us, it's very different. It's also a very interesting perspective to make the tool that we also use as our primary way of collaborating with each other. You know, and it's not that we don't use, you know, tools like Slack or email, but Asana for us is the primary touch point. It's almost a different way of working, not to get a little bit too metaphysical about it, but our whole philosophy at Asana really evolves around the platform and about how we use it to collaborate with and stay in touch with each other. So even in the last couple of years where a lot of process around work has transformed, we've always been collaborating with people in this digital space in addition to the, you know, human space. And for us, that's just a core part of working at Asana.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. And I think it speaks to kind of where we are in this kind of digital journey altogether after the past couple of years. Both of those tools are digital first channels. You know, like what we didn't mention there is sitting in an in-person all hands with every big company, you know, whatever it is, or talking at the water cooler, stuff like that. Like, I know that we wouldn't say that those are mandatory channels, but at the end of the day, like, you know, if you go back a couple of years ago, like a primary means of communication was physically sitting in a room together and talking about stuff.
Yeah, I would add to that too, that many of the companies that I've worked for over the past 20 years have been global, and that while video conferencing is clearly not new, while these digital collaboration technology platforms are nothing new, there are also many companies have been operating nearly exclusively in this space for the last 10 or 15 years. Now, that doesn't replace the water cooler conversation. I would actually say that one of the most challenging aspects of the last couple of years is how to simulate organic conversation that just happens when you run into someone in the hallway. How to simulate those kind of organic aha moments that we all experience when we're just talking about not necessarily even about the project that you're working on. Those are harder to come by. And, you know, there's a lot of platforms that are emerging to try to simulate that. And clearly we have all used Zoom and Teams and Google Meet and all sorts of other video conferencing platforms. But that's a challenge to really emulate, especially the way IT organizations tend to work, as they're very collective. They're very, you know, organically bouncing ideas off of each other, sitting in the same room historically. And that's a little bit more challenging to accomplish when you can't just Slack someone for a casual comment and expect an immediate reply.
Yeah, that's great insight, Johan. I also personally find the digital tools are very good for structured interactions. I think the closest that comes to even emulating a water cooler type of conversation is close to a Slack channel or, you know, close to a Teams channel, something like that, right? I think it'll be a while before digital tools more adequately replace the water cooler, if you may, right? Maybe in the future, we'll see metaverse become much more commonplace, right? Whereby we will actually accidentally run into each other in a digital universe, right? And although it sounds too far out, may not be as far out as we think.
Yeah. So how can we be more intentional about that sort of stuff? I know that the technology solutions aren't always the way, but AP, I'm curious if there's things that you've done over the past year, a couple of years, that you've seen people respond really well to.
You know, what we have done in the last couple of years, we have come to a kind of a mix of digital and physical, right? First of all, we went 99% digital, like every other company. That included, obviously, a set of tools like video conferences, meetings. And in fact, we actually have within our company a learning platform that also serves as a way to collaborate. It's called Percipio. So within the company, we use that learning platform to collaborate and grow together. For example, there's an assignment for a group of people, and people come together on that, and they watch a course or a book club. So those are the things that have actually bonded people beyond the deliverables of tomorrow, beyond the deliverables of a particular project. And then we've obviously mixed up digital with physical from time to time, as and when, you know, opportunities arose. We still find it very hard to have an intense architectural discussion or a very intense design discussion completely digitally. But I believe, you know, technologies are emerging to be help that more, even more.
Switching gears a little bit, Johan, can you share some advice for CTOs or CIOs finding themselves responsible for employee engagement because of this like remote work model?
Yeah, this is actually the same answer I would probably have given with in-person work as well. What I would encourage IT and tech leaders to do is really clearly partner with the business to help set clear expectations about what channels of communication do what inside of a company. So let me to add clarity to that. Sometimes companies have four or five different similar platforms that all do the same kind of thing. And when employees are trying to work and collaborate, it becomes challenging for them to understand what's the best way to reach out, what's the best way to communicate. A company like Asana, where we've centralized the work process around the tool Asana, this is one example of offering real clarity for employees on this is the platform that you'll use to work and collaborate with each other. So having interaction with your corporate communications team and setting clear expectations about when you want to have a casual conversation, here is the mechanism to do the casual conversation. You know, it could be something like Slack or Google Chat. Whether you want to have a video conferencing experience, setting clear standards and expectations. there are so many options for technology now, and many teams, especially when they have the option for self-service, start using and working on their own individual platforms, which causes a little bit of chaos and confusion across different lines of business when you have five different business units, each with their own specialized process on how to work, how to communicate, how to collaborate, how to do anything. So getting that executive or high-level buy-in on ways to work that people can agree on, that we can take these as standard approaches, really, and really working with communication to the employees so that the employees understand these are the guidelines. Many companies that I've been at, one of the largest challenges we see on engagement surveys are it's very confusing to work slash get information slash understand how to interact with other people. And this was actually true before the last couple of years and the changes that the pandemic has brought about. I think setting clarity about the hows of getting work done is a very important set of guidelines that can come from the top, but also can be understood and, you know, reinforced by the ways that people interact with each other. I think when people don't know sort of the guidelines, they will be very creative and clever and often do their own thing, which is great because that's what leads to creativity. But at the same time, it can also lead to confusion and make it more challenging to work, especially when we're all remote.
Ian, if you would allow me to take Skillsoft's take on the same question. So I think one of the elements for employee engagement, as we are learning every day, is providing employees the opportunity to grow, right? You know, we see that in seasoned employees, we see that in employees who are 2 years into the workforce. Everybody seems to wanting to develop and have a self-directed way of developing. One of the things that is convenient for working in Skillsoft, as we kind of eat our own dog food, right? We provide learning content in various different areas. We provide learning tools. And my role, both as a, you know, CIO and CTO of the company, convenient that we can use our own product to provide that element of engagement, right? Our own company is the highest user, one of the highest users of our own product. And we are able to provide that growth and engagement to the employees that is invaluable. So I think learning as a way of providing employee engagement is becoming more and more important in the digital age.
I really like that sentiment, AP. I resonate with that idea as well.
Again, this used to be something that used to live in HR, or maybe it still, you know, does in a lot of ways. But the idea that IT or the technology leader is responsible for at least a small part of this, I think is really exciting. You know, we think about some of the CIOs that lead hackathons and things like that, that lead different things within the company that allow different people within the company to engage with technology. I think one of the things that we've learned that the C-suite and many people in the company feel a little alienated about technology. If we can bring them closer to that, like, it is a good thing. It's a great thing for us to do that. And not just in you know, technology and engineering and data and stuff, but even in sales and marketing and project management, like, offers a great way for companies to engage.
Yeah, I would add to this, Ian, too, that a really critical part of our roles is advocacy and outreach, that in the more modern environment, it's our job to really reach out to the different lines of business and find out what they need and help them make those decisions and help them bring that our value is not just a service provider, but it's also a business partner or a collaborator or someone who can help them with those tools that they want to bring out, which also helps in the long run of reducing to some extent the tool sprawl that we often see. Because, you know, a team may be interested in bringing a new platform, but are not aware of the fact that a parallel team is also considering a similar platform, and they lose out on that kind of force multiplier of having everyone aligned or working in a, you know, more similar way. So for us, you know, it's more proactive than reactive. I think the traditional IT model is a lot of reactiveness, and maybe that's not universally true, but I've seen enough of that to feel that. But in the current model, we try to be more of a business partner. We try to be more of a collaborator than just someone who receives a request and processes it, which has a more traditional feel.
I'm really in tune with that sentiment, Johan. And we as providers of the technology really need to understand what problem we're trying to solve in the first place, right? And that requires engaging deeply with the different business lines. And you're 100% correct. You know, if you don't have that, we have a plethora of tools, we have a plethora of machinery, and we have no idea of the process that we are trying to change or achieve. 100% agreed. Well said.
And now let's take a quick break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Asana.
This podcast is brought to you by Asana. Even if your team isn't in the same place, your work can be. You just need Asana. Asana is where teams securely coordinate work so everyone knows who is doing what, by when, and why. To learn why millions of teams worldwide use Asana, visit asana.com. That's A-S-A-N-A.com.
So then I'm curious, the past few years, we've really had a lot of resilience that we've had to take on. We've had to adapt and build that kind of muscle, that ability to adapt to things more quickly, to have tighter feedback loops. AP, I'm curious, like, how do you think about, you know, resilience with your strategy, but also with your tech stack?
It's a great question. I actually think resilience begins with people. You know, I think the team structure and the culture within the company, the agility as a core principle and skills-based teams as core principle actually brings in a lot of resilience, right? If the people in the team are fundamentally oriented to business problems, what are they trying to solve? They are fundamentally agile in terms of not making long drawn out plans, but actually experimenting with things and looking at partial results and progressing, right? Then I think, and also continuously learning about new technologies or new ways of work, then that kind of a culture and constitution creates a resilient organization by default. And that organization chooses technologies appropriately, right? Because the flavor of the month keeps on changing, right? It's continuous CI/CD, then to DevOps, then to AI ops. It keeps on changing, and rightfully so, because, you know, as new technology comes in, it has an adoption curve. But I think the core is resilience is in the people, is what I have feel, what I feel and what I have seen. Having the right culture, having open-mindedness, right? Having the capability to be frank with each other, right? Having the agility to respond quickly, having work practices that are matrixed, that are global. These are the pillars of the resilience in my own mind.
I very much agree with that. I think that how you build and structure your team and how you set them up for success and growth and clarity on roles and responsibilities is a critical factor. The technology will constantly change. What technology are we using today that we were using 15 years ago? This experience that we're having right now would not be something that we would have done 15 years ago. It didn't almost literally exist in the same form. But those fundamentals in how your team interacts, how they work with other people across the organization, how that we can be perceived as the group that people want to come to work with, rather than the IT organization that says no to everything, or the IT organization that takes too long to do even the most simple tasks, or has very overly complicated process just around simple requests. We try to eliminate those things through automation, but we also try to make sure that our teams, if your team is happy and productive, that customer experience will resonate and other people in the organization will look to IT as a, I'm sorry, this sounds a little highfalutin, but a thought leader, someone that they are comfortable to come with to help solve their problems rather than a potential blocker to getting things done.
Zooming out for a second, I want to talk secrets. It's CIO Classified after all. AP, what's one secret that you've learned in your career that not enough, you know, CIOs or CTOs know?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one, but a good one, right? The first thing that comes to mind is giving people the freedom to learn and experiment with what they have learned, right? I think that builds good teams that more often than not produces good results. So giving people the time, number one, the freedom, the permission to learn and apply that learning, even if you have to fail fast, right? And move on to the next thing. It's not so much of a secret. In the daily pressures, it's very difficult to achieve or do. But as a leader in the organization, if we allow that time, the opportunity, the tool set for people to learn, grow, apply, succeed or fail fast, is a big thing that builds a strong organization and team.
Johan, what about you? Secrets?
revealing my secrets. I don't know if this is a secret so much it was a very important aha moment for me when I learned that delegating is the best way to accomplish large goals. That as a leader, your job is not to actually make sure everything happens at all. It's to make sure that the people who are working on the team are harmonizing with each other and able to work with each other and able to deliver. I don't try to ever claim success on anything. I like to pass that down to the people who are actually doing the work. I get to put my head on the chopping block when things go wrong. I get to take that level of responsibility. But I realize that you'll get the best outcomes when people feel empowered through delegating. You know, early on in my career, I had that tendency, I've got to shoulder all of this myself. I'm going to be responsible, so I'm going to make sure it gets done. But I realized after a period of time, that's actually exactly the opposite of what one really needs to do to be a good leader, to really build performing teams. You really need to delegate to all. So I don't know if that's a secret, but I do know that's something important that I wish someone had just bluntly told me a lot earlier in my career.
All right, I'm going to open it up for questions for each other in a little bit. But before we do that, I want to do some predictions for future work for 2022. Is there anything that you all are ready to predict from a technology standpoint, from a work standpoint, or anything that you're seeing right now that's overhyped or maybe underhyped? Johan, we'll start with you.
This is a great question. I predict on some level that hardware technology becomes increasingly more appliance-like as we move forward, and that in some strange way, we're moving entirely back to no local compute and all cloud computing. Whether, you know, the old terminal, client terminal model is just new in the cloud sense, that what you're doing is being done remotely. And I know that to some extent we're already doing that, but I see that that becomes increasingly true as time goes on, as we want to move away from security vulnerabilities on endpoints. So, you know, that plus automation. Imagine a universe where IT is a service organization that helps guide people through their technology problems, but largely we help automate things so that the problems become even easier for the end users to solve.
That was great, Johan. I have my own little take on this one. I think in the next 2 to 3 years, skills will become the new currency of work. Skills versus degrees, right? University degrees, you know, especially in the technology world, are becoming, you know, rapidly aged, right? Within 3 to 4 years of you getting a degree in a particular area. Especially in the technology world, provable skills and verifiable skills and continuously refreshed skills are going to become a currency. I think job interviews will focus on provable skills. People will have badge wallets, digital badge wallets, and they'll be able to, you know, probably demonstrate their skills, be it soft skills or pretty hardcore technical skills. I think skills is the new currency. Continuous development of skills will become more and more important in every organization, especially technology organizations. And we will see, you know, people describing their careers in terms of skills achieved and mastery levels of different skills.
I would argue that having that kind of growth mindset for your employees is critical to their success, regardless of their career or location. Sure. I think there's a certain, you know, people who are always learning are flexing and growing the muscle of their mind, and they will always find those next opportunities. If I think that not continuing to want to learn and develop, you know, because let's face it, nothing that any of us did in our first weeks of technology from a skills perspective relates to what currently goes on in the world of technology. It changes. I think somebody once told me the reason they weren't ever going to bother trying to write a textbook about technology is because by the time they got it published, it would be obsolete. You know, that's the reality. And in the new modern digital platforms like AP's company makes, make it easy to get text out immediately so that learning can be like in more in real time, like the time to life cycle a book, you know, when it's out, it's already a little bit obsolete, but digital platforms can publish something moments after it's created, which is a great opportunity to help people up-level themselves.
Questions for each other. Who wants to go first?
I'll jump in first. AP, what's the biggest thing that you have seen change in technology since the beginning of your career?
Great question. Machines and processors have become fast enough. to be able to run complicated algorithms that were not able to run 20 years ago. Right from predictive models from my Google search to what advertisements show up on my Facebook feed, AI at all levels and algorithms at all levels and algorithm-driven existence, if you may, right, is the biggest change that I have seen in about 10 or 15 years.
Can I add something on that as well? An additional question. I know it's not my time to be asking questions, but I can't resist. But also automation is another thing that feels like it's really changing both business and IT. AP, I'm curious how you feel about automation.
It is the lifeblood, Ian. It is so much of a lifeblood that I almost ignored mentioning it, right? I remember 20 years ago when we used to ship software, it used to be like delivering a baby. It's like a 9-month plan and all that stuff, right? You had like a 4-month testing period and whatnot. Now we ship cloud software every day, right? In a continuous CI/CD pipeline. In fact, the fact that we ship software quickly actually makes it better rather than makes it poorer, right? Because the testing regimen around that and the automation regimen around that, the whole DevOps to AI ops, right? All of that is actually contributing to quality, and automation is such a lifeblood, Ian, that I forgot to mention it, especially in product development, in modern product development.
Yeah, I would have answered that question probably more from the automation front. I remember discovering automation really early in my career when my job working at Wells Fargo Bank was to create Novell user accounts for people. And at some point, I discovered how batch files worked and how I could actually script process and complete my work that was normally a 5 or 6 hour job in about an hour. That was my first early experience with automation. But now in IT, everything that we do looks towards automating. If we have a new user coming on board and they need 35 accounts across different systems, if one person has to manually enter all that, that's not just a terrible task and a bad use of someone's time, but it's very inefficient and doesn't scale. So for us, moving IT towards automation across the board with everything that we could automate, we can. It doesn't reduce the number of people necessarily that we have working. It doesn't reduce the interesting work, but it does make the user experience a lot better when someone needs an account and it takes them 1 minute for the IT technician to solve the job, or as we're looking towards automating help desk functionality, it will be one message in a channel that could actually accomplish the same thing. That creates more interesting work for the people on the team and a better user experience all around. So for me, that automation is so, the more the merrier, as the expression goes.
So is it my time to ask Johan a question?
Yeah, your time.
I'll flip the question around, Johan. Except for the sun, the moon, and the stars, is there anything that is in your career that you have seen that you can consider relatively timeless, like has not changed much or has not changed at all?
I'll say one thing, and this isn't a technical thing, but it's something that when I'm hiring anyone into the organization, whether they're the frontline IT support or whether they're a systems engineer behind the scenes, it's all about a customer service oriented mentality. To me, that is timeless. It's so important. I early on really, we've all seen the humorous take on snarky IT folks who are hard to interact with. I never liked that. I always felt that was the wrong approach for IT. And so for me, that real customer-centric mentality has always been the most important thing for IT, that we need to be perceived as, there's the adage that the customer is always right. And that's very much as true today as it was 10 or 15 years ago. Now, that wasn't always the perception of folks in IT, but to me, that is the North Star of all great IT organizations, is they are perceived as really going the extra mile, really providing that outstanding customer service. And that works both ways. Sometimes that involves being very clear about why something can or can't happen, finding very useful ways to interact with people that don't involve saying no, that actually look for some pathway to yes or success. The users are coming to IT to help get their problem solved, not to be told something about themselves or their approach. All they want is resolution to their problems. For me, that's, to me, the most important part of any IT organization, no matter what your role is, that you embody that.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer, Johan. And it is so much true also for my product organization. The same thing, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think it doesn't matter what role you have in IT. Your job is to facilitate a great user experience.
Gentlemen, Thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining the show. Any final thoughts, AP?
No, I really enjoyed the discussion and happy holidays.
Indeed, happy holidays. Johan?
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, AP. It was wonderful and maybe look forward to meeting you in person at some point in the future.
Indeed. Take care.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to CIO Classified. This episode was brought to you by Asana. From everyday tasks to big picture goals, Asana securely organizes work so teams know what to do, why it matters, and how to get it done. Plus, with more than 100 integrations, Asana brings together everything your team needs to communicate, collaborate, and coordinate work in one place. Visit asana.com to try for free. That's ASANA.com.